I really do love moments like this, truly. I'm not just saying that. I spent a fair bit of my time, this is going to sound funny, a fair bit of my time in seminary in services like this with a lot of old women. A lot of our healing prayer services were like 3 to 10 of us. Just worshiping God together, praying for each other. And there's a real sweetness for me to be gathered together. So just thank you guys for being here. And even if you weren't here, I would still love it. I'm just kidding. It's great to have you. Lord, I just thank you so much for tonight. I do ask that you would speak to our hearts, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see. To receive a token of your grace this evening as we come to your word, as we come to your table, that you are leaving for us a treasure to hold in Christ, and help us to lay hold of it now. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as a Polish woman in post-World War I Soviet Union, my great-great-grandmother was shipped out on a train with her young daughter to a Russian gulag work camp in Siberia. She then lived with her daughter, my great-grandmother, as she raised my grandfather and his siblings on a scrapping-it-by farm in Ukraine as it became a war zone wasteland between Germany and Russia in World War II. She was then in an Austrian refugee camp, from where eventually she arrived with the rest of the family in Michigan after the war. I believe that my great-great-grandmother very well understood the political ethics and theology of Jesus better than you or I maybe ever will. She is somebody who simply inhabited a messy world. And yet, her just sheer existence, the word that I kept coming to as I sat with meditating for this evening was givenness. I'm not sure about that word. Might have to think about it a bit more. But the givenness, the sheer existence of her life, and even what I would say is God's grace in and through her life, and the people, places, systems, things that were way bigger than her, to which she belonged, they were just as real, concrete, meaningful, impactful than you and I will ever experience in any kind of more organized governance society. And so I think the particular word that I would want us to walk away with this evening is givenness. I really struggled with what to use this time for, because I wanted it to be more concise, but we're talking about big things, and I wanted to give us some kind of outward facing, not just thinking about, you know, the sovereignty of God's kingdom, but also thinking about how we live it out a bit. And the word givenness is what I landed on. So there you go. It maybe in psychology terms, it's radical acceptance. It's inhabiting the spaces and places and people and relationships that we didn't come up with, that we didn't choose, we didn't build up to this moment. We are just receiving it, and it is what is given to us and what we are themselves are given to. If I was going to try to put the feet on the ground in a theological sense a bit more, the thought that was rising up for me was that God's people in their givenness, they're called to exercise prophetic reform through transformational submission. Exercise prophetic reform through transformational submission. here's what I mean. Again, this acceptance of the larger geopolitical realities of our lives, this prophetic reform through transformational submission is what Jesus embodies for us in our gospel text today. So in this conversation with these spies that we looked at 2 weeks ago, this is our second time looking at this text in the last 2 weeks, Jesus does not disregard Caesar. He doesn't say, and who is Caesar and what is he to me? He doesn't say that. He accepts. It is his givenness. There is something of the submission of the Son to the Father and of Christ's humanity to the will of the Father in this time, just like my great-great-grandmother. He inhabits his place, his time, and his politics. And maybe the simplest way and direct application of this, you would say, Jesus is a reformer, not a revolutionary. That's probably the simplest way to say it. That doesn't mean that his reforms aren't revolutionary, but it still means that he is not in this moment overturning the wholesale system that he inhabits. He is living within it with a prophetic reform through transformational submission, which for him ultimately is to submit himself to a Roman cross, to fulfill his calling through the miscarriages of justice of a broken government. And so when I think about this in terms of what we're called to be in the world as God's people, as those united to Jesus, as those that we're going to remember tonight, sharing in Christ, Christ having shared in us and our death and curse, us now sharing in him and his blessing and resurrection, is this call to reform the world. We tend to get overly narrow in kind of our application of that word or thoughts on it, you know, especially in churchy environments. We have reformed theology. But what I mean it in is the broadest sense of the word, that we are called as God's people, now united to Jesus, to reform the world, to, in the grace of Christ, inhabit the places where he has placed us in our vocations and callings and politics and communities, and to bring to bear the grace of God in those places for his glory and the good of others. That we are not revolutionaries, although what we bring to those environments might revolutionize them in the love of God, we are reforming them. As prophetic witnesses to Christ. We are leaving vengeance to God, as Paul says in Romans 12. We are leaving vengeance to God, and we are living as prophetic reformers through transformational submission in the places God puts us. And so here are just some closing thoughts in terms of the prophetic nature of our calling, that we are actually living in a future kingdom now. We are, as prophets, reforming our current world with the future love and kingdom of God that we await. And so here are some final thoughts in closing, just to try to, you know, help continue to stir our thoughts in living this out. Here's some final thoughts on the nature of this kingdom that we are living in. Our kingdom is with our King. Our kingdom is with our King. Who, Jesus, as our King, is present with us by his Spirit now, and his word and table and his people, as his temple then sent out into the world. And we are also awaiting the coming of the King when that kingdom is fully established. So our kingdom is with our King. Wherever Jesus is, that's where our kingdom is. That's a helpful maybe reset to understanding something of the nature of the kingdom, which is beyond truly our full understanding to comprehend. Secondly, our kingdom exists mixed. Our experience, maybe, of the kingdom is mixed, both in ourselves as we continue to deal with ourselves and our sin and shortcomings and weaknesses, and out in the world, in the church and in the community out among us. Our kingdom is mixed. And so we are reforming ourselves by the power of the Spirit. By the power of the Spirit, we are spilling out into the world to reform the world as well. Thirdly, our kingdom cannot be overcome if it is with the king, and no one can dethrone the king, then no one can undo the kingdom. It cannot be overcome. No one can dethrone Jesus and his resurrection glory. Our kingdom transcends all the kingdoms of this world. This is something that, again, my great-great-grandmother knows better than we do. She definitely knows now, but knew during her life the transcendent nature of God's kingdom. Maybe a little token of that today is that I voted, you know, in this election. There are inmates who did not vote, and yet who I share more in common with than other citizens among us, because those inmates are in Christ. They're united to Jesus. They're baptized in him. We share the same table together. It transcends the kingdoms, the civilities of this world in our citizenship in Christ. Lastly, our kingdom is in the way of the king. And so this is the main point of what I've been saying this whole time, is that we are called in prophetic reform, to live in prophetic reform through transformational submission. That's the way that Jesus lived out the kingdom. He lived it out in God's future establishment of his kingdom in the world, changing it, transforming it from the inside out. And when he comes, it will be revealed in its fullness to us. We will be revealed in our fullness to him and to ourselves and to the world at his coming. And so tonight, this table is a remembrance of the kingdom. Here, time and space have unique components here in terms of what we experience with our Lord. That we are remembering our citizenship, having exercised faithfulness out in the world. We remember Christ's faithfulness to us, to welcome us in his grace, to bear our sin and death, that we could bear his blessing and joy. And so, Lord, we thank you so much for tonight. We thank you for just a moment to remember that it is your joy to give us the kingdom, and that it is a kingdom that is given that cannot be shaken. No matter what governments we vote in or live through, we belong to you, and the government is on your shoulders, Jesus. And so we bless you. We thank you for this time. Please continue to encourage our hearts. Teach us to be faithful citizens in Stanton. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.